We back at your ass with another installment for the history series of Bitch, We Got the Tea. You know, we're about to just start making some connections here because with everything going on in current events, you got this
a lot conflict. Of fake news.
Yeah, we got a lot of fake news. We got a lot of propaganda. We got a lot of shit that need to be, the record need to be set straight on. So let's just jump into this particular topic. Pardon me, which is the chocolate industry. It sounds harmless on the surface, but let's delve into some of this history behind the chocolate industry. And before any of y'all niggas try to come with that bullshit, the source that we're going to cite for this episode is Dr. Yvette Ault Miller. She's wrote many books. Her latest book, Portraits of Valor, Heroic Jewish Women You Should Know, which describes the last 40 remarkable lives of 40 remarkable women of vast diversity of Jewish experience, yada, yada, blah, blah, blah. This is her words and not mine. So don't try to come with that anti-Semitic bullshit. Go bring that up with her, Dr. Yvette Ault Miller. All right, so now that we got that out the way, according to an article on Aish.com, and that's spelled A-I-S-H.com, she's kind of giving a quick rundown on the chocolate industry and the Jewish people's involvement in said chocolate industry. And, you know, Bree, feel free to stop me so you can, you know, jump in, blah, 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 whatever, whatever, questions, comments. All right, so.
Yeah.
All right, cool. So right out the gate, he's talking about how the discovery of cocoa. It says the first Europeans to discover cocoa were crew members sailing to the New World with Christopher Columbus, some of who were Jews. Setting sail in 1492, the same year Jews that were expelled from Spain. She putting some dots together. So conveniently, the same year that they were kicked out of Spain, some of them hop on a boat with him to the New World. Columbus carried Jewish crew members with him, including his translator, Luis de Torres. Now, peep that. They Jewish, but they also hide behind Spanish names, like a lot of them in Central and South America. I told you, I went on a cruise.
That's crazy. I wanted to say their real name.
Well, it's not even that they don't want to say their real name. You have to think from the history that we're going to really dive deep into. They spread out across to different countries doing their commerce, which they are known for historically over the centuries. Those pockets of the community that was in this country or that country, not to say they blended in, but by default over time, you blend into this area and that area. So it would make sense that you might mess around, have a family that's now set up over there. And now you have offspring that's not only quote unquote Jewish, which is not a race, it's a religion, but these people who now are adopting the names of the people, country that they in, hence this Luis de Torres. It don't sound like Epstein or Rothschild or none of that shit. That's all I'm trying to establish by going on that little sidebar. So anyway, his translator was Luis de Torres, who chose to stay behind in the Americas instead of returning to Inquisition Spain. The Spanish Inquisition was anybody that was not a Moor, anybody that was not a, basically, if you wasn't a Anglo-Saxon Caucasian, Christian. They was going goddamn torture your ass and try to make you either convert and confess that you now are Christian or kill you, or you got to get the fuck out of here. You know what I mean? So anybody that wasn't that was subject to that. But back to what she's talking about in her article here. It says that Columbus likened the cocoa fruit to strangely shaped almonds and brought some back with him. The Aztecs would roast and grind the fruit before mixing it with water, hot chilies, and vanilla. And then Aztec warriors would down the mixture before going into battle. And then it says that Montezuma reportedly drank 50 cups a day of this. Basically, it sounds like some kind of original version of hot chocolate as we might know it today type shit. But anyway, there's the little history on the chocolate itself as a drink by the emperor of the Aztecs. You got the Christopher Columbus, one of his mans on the boat, was a Jewish translator slash money man. And to jump to the 1600s now. In the 1600s and in the 1700s, hot cocoa, a spicy sweet drink that took Europe by storm. The primary ingredients was cocoa, sugar, and vanilla. Was pioneered by Jews. And that's her words, not mine. The link to this article will be in the description. Holler at her. Don't holler at me. All right, anyway, going on further. Jewish brothers David and Raphael Mercado or Mercado, living in present-day Guyana, invented early machinery to process and refine sugar. When the local Dutch authorities prohibited,
I feel like that last name sounds familiar. Mercado.
Yeah, there's a map named, I think, after them, and then it's kind of a sort of a well-known Spanish Latin type of name as well. So it could be
Mercado. Yeah, that sounds mad familiar.
Mm-hmm. But so now you now get these anyway. Cats introduced who starts, I guess, you know, to mass produce, harvest, refine sugar, as well as chocolate and vanilla, or cocoa and vanilla. So it goes on further to say that soon David and Raphael controlled, not participated or dabbled in, they controlled Mexico's burgeoning chocolate business, ending their dominance only with the arrival of French settlers in 1690. So I'm pausing to let y'all absorb what we just broke down.
Yeah, break that down a little bit in a little bit of a layman's term.
So Christopher Columbus came in 1492. Luis de Torres, a Jewish guy with a Spanish name, stayed when Columbus went back to Europe. He stayed behind and was like, there's money to get here with this chocolate, cocoa. Fast forward, the Jews controlled and locked down the cocoa industry all the way up until 1690 in Mexico. Her words, not mine. So for almost two centuries, 1490 to 1590, 1590 to 1690, that's two centuries of them getting money off the chocolate industry already.
Yeah.
All right, so now.
And they weren't even the one.
Yeah, my bad, yeah.
Nah, I was about to say, so, but they weren't the ones, like, they just been acting like they kind of what started it then or created
No. They were the ones who did kind of create the industry, because you have to think indigenous people everywhere. You know, that's like if me and you was on the island somewhere chilling and there was goddamn cashews growing. We might just plug them shits and eat them whenever we need. If you get full, you don't need no more. Outside invader. Right. Sketchy nigga coming into your shit like, oh, these niggas got almonds, they got this. Oh, I'm about to take all this shit. I'm about to, these niggas don't even know what they got.
Right.
That's the energy that's being demonstrated. You know what I'm saying?
Right. So they basically just took what was already there and
made money off of it.
You know, more made money off of it. Oh my. Right. Again, how they do everything.
Exactly.
Okay. So now, I just want the viewers to get it, you know.
It's all good. The main, and that's why you're here to put the brakes on it from time to time. So boom, it go further. The first modern cocoa processing plant was the brainchild of Benjamin de Acosta de Andrade, a Portuguese secret Jew who moved to Dutch Brazil in the 1600s. And there began his practice. And there he began to practice his Judaism openly. So remember, like, the background is because of the shit was going on in Europe, they was being expelled from country to country. So in Europe, wherever they was at that time, you know, depending on where they was at, they might have to been laid there to been low. Once that nigga came to the New World, quote unquote, to South America, now he like, these niggas don't know nothing about nothing over here. I could do me, which he did.
Right.
So now he getting money. He practicing Judaism out in the open. And then it goes to say, when the Portuguese recaptured the area in 1645, Benjamin found himself in danger from the Inquisition once again. Now let's stop right there. The Spanish Inquisition was the newly arriving Caucasians that ran the black Moors up out of Spain. The white people who just took over that were torturing anybody that wasn't what they deemed to be pure Anglo-Saxon Caucasian cracker. You feel me?
Right.
And now that these same Caucasians done probably start sending boats down there to Portugal to Brazil, he thought he was able to chill. These regular Anglos done rolled up on him. He like, damn, now I gotta hide the joint. Y'all niggas is tucking their chains and shit. He putting the Star of David up under the joint, pulling out his Jesus piece like he a regular Christian again, because the regular Caucasians, the Anglo-Saxons, done rolled up on the scene. Which is why they talking about he was in danger from the Inquisition. So then it says he fled to the Caribbean island of Martinique. So let me go on ahead and just, well, I'll throw that shit in the editing maybe. But back to this shit. So the island of Martinique, where he traded in cocoa. So he still was selling chocolate, but from this island, which I'm assuming, it sounds like some shit that's like right off the coast of Colombia or Brazil. So it's like, it probably wasn't that damn far. But anyway, soon Benjamin and other Jewish traders controlled Martinique's booming cocoa business. French settlers resented the Jewish traders' success and pressed for a black code, a 1685 law expelling all Jews from Martinique. So let's just absorb that shit for a minute. The French was sitting back like your boy on Belly who was eating a banana when them New York niggas came out there and took over their town. And he was like, man, we gotta drop dime on these niggas, man. They getting too much money out here and we ain't getting none of it.
Yeah.
The French hated it on the Jews. Yeah, they hated on the Jews so that to the point that in 1685, the French, these Anglo-Saxons, created a black code, which was a law that made the Jews leave Martinique. Benjamin de Acosta de Andrade and other cocoa, sugar, and vanilla traders resettled on the nearby islands of Caraco, ruled by the Netherlands, and Jamaica. Oh, wow. And Jamaica, which was controlled by Britain.
I was about to say, that's the island.
Yep. where they turned those islands into powerhouses in the new craze for chocolate drinks.
Oh, wow.
I, you know what I mean? I just want that shit to soak in, absorb in. So now going
so
further.
So basically what now? So what? So where are we at right now?
So now we're getting closer to 1700. It's the year 1685. The regular traditional Anglo-Saxon Caucasians who identify as Christian came and was like, these other Caucasians who identify as Jews, which isn't a race, it's just a religion, and these other and these so-called people who think they got a trademark on an entire religion never mention the Ethiopian Jews or the original Jews. Also got to throw that out there to shut down any bullshit. And these are the same motherfuckers that sterilized a lot of Ethiopian Jewish women in 2013 upon entry coming into that country. But back to the main topic on the chocolate. So it's almost the year 1700. Because of them getting hella money and basically monopolizing the entire chocolate industry of importing chocolate from the New World, quote unquote, the Caribbean and Central America back over into Europe, getting all that money, the French was like, fuck that. They hated by passing a law that would drive them over, drive them out of whatever spot they was getting money at, to kick them out of this spot and then that spot, so that the regular Christian Caucasians could now take over and start to get some of that money. If that makes sense in a layman's term. All right, so moving on. It says, chocolate as we know it, candies made from cocoa and other ingredients such as milk, cream, nuts, butter, was invented by Jewish refugees or refugees fleeing the Portuguese Inquisition in France. With the introduction of the Inquisition in Portugal in 1536, some Jews fled to nearby France, settling across the border. They were allowed to live in France as new Christians. So basically, secret Jews pretending to be Christians. And the Anglo-Saxons, the Caucasians in France, were the ones who were hating and pressing them, which is why they had to be secret Jews in the first place and live in France as new Christians. So I'm saying all this shit to highlight the white-on-white shit going on. All right, so anyway, they were restricted in their ability to travel on land and trade. Restricted, not saying that they were totally boxed out, but they were limited. The one industry that was open to them, relying on contacts with other Jews and secret Jews in the New World, was the chocolate slash cocoa industry. It goes further to say, resenting their success, the local chocolate guild pressed the authorities to prohibit Jews from working in the chocolate trade. So we learning two things here. We learning that it's Caucasians that are hating on these people that are now in present day identify as Jews, who practice a religion called Judaism that applies to everyone who wants to partake in that religion. So we'll go further. This restriction was swept away in 1776, and the Jewish community resumed its chocolate production. Fast forward to 1850s. They boasted at least 34 chocolate companies and was known as the premier chocolate producing city in France. So these niggas done cornered a whole entire market. They basically demonstrate, Shorty's demonstrating in this article how her people, they locked down the chocolate industry. Now, from a my people type of energy, I salute that. You know, she should be proud that her people locked down and took over a whole industry and was getting money and was doing this and this and that. So she has swag. She has pride in the fact that her people controlled an entire industry and was getting money doing X, Y, and Z with the chocolate and cocoa. But as somebody that's not Jewish saying the same thing, oh, they could try to flip it. Oh, you're anti-Semitic. No, my nigga, I'm reciting the research of this Jewish author slash researcher slash reporter who is telling it how her people did it. All right. So I could go further in depth. I will. Fuck it. We're going further in depth. So it goes further to say that many Jewish cooks, both in the Americas and Europe, began to experiment. They found their way, or they found themselves making, you know, everything from candies to cakes, from France to Italy to Hungary. Once again, the regular Caucasians, the Anglos, started to hate on them further. And it said that in the 1600s, church officials, the Roman Catholic Church, called hot cocoa the beverage of Satan. You can't make this shit up. And this is, you know, white on white crime right here. These Anglo-Caucasians was hating on the Jewish Caucasians by saying that the cocoa that the Jewish people were making all this money on was the beverage of Satan. And let's just call it what it is. They were hating. Because if it was Christian Anglo-Caucasians that had cornered the market, it wouldn't be called the beverage of Satan. So anyway, we're going to move on. In colonial America, the chocolate trade was introduced and dominated by two Sephardi Jewish families. The Gomez family in New York. There's that name again. Gomez. That's not a traditional European name. That's a name from over here type name. In this continent type name. Well, it really is a Spanish name over there too. Let me backtrack. It is a Spanish type of name. But I say that still, even in error, to highlight this part, the secret aspect of how these individuals were moving. They adopted names of where they lived so that they could be under the radar and operate. And the Lopez family. The Lopez family in Rhode Island. Cocoa trader Aaron Lopez was one of the most prominent businessmen and philanthropists in colonial Rhode Island. An ardent supporter of the American Revolution, he wrote that the shortages due to political upheaval were especially hard on kosher-keeping Jews who were forced to subsist on chocolate and coffee. So that's another industry low-key that they telling you that they had their claws into, coffee as well as the chocolate. So anyway, we're going to jump further to the 1800s at this point. It's talking about the Austro-Hungarian Empire and how, I guess basically, a Jew named Franz Sacher stepped in and created a chocolate sponge cake filled with apricot jam, coated with chocolate, and served with whipped cream. And the Sacher Torte was born. So because they people was getting so much money by selling chocolate, they clearly had money from the chocolate. They had access to chocolate if they wanted to get money making candies to control the candy industry, or if they wanted to control bacon industries, They had everything they needed because they people controlled the shit as the shit came out of the ground, from the ground level, from the plantation level. And who was working the plantations? The same motherfuckers. Let's not get it fucked up. But that's another little chapter that we're getting to another episode. So now we fast forward to the 1930s. Several Jewish chocolate makers fled Nazi rule in Europe, bringing their candy making skills to new countries. In 1933, Eliyahu Fromenchenko, who owned a chocolate factory in Latvia, fled rising anti-Semitism to settle in pre-state Israel, where he founded Elite, the iconic Israel chocolate company. In 1938, Stephen Klein, a prominent Viennese chocolate maker, fled Austria for New York City, where he set up Barton's Bon Bonniere, today known as Barton's Candy.
Barton's, well, I was about to say Barton's
Bon Bonniere. That made me think of the shit when I was a kid, Bon Bons. I don't even know if you remember that candy.
Is that the candy. Same? It no, I do, be, but is that the same?
It may not be the exact same, but it definitely, now we know, we have a vague idea of where the shit might have even came from. The niggas who got the chocolate industry locked down, a nigga creates a thing in the 1930s, talk about Barton's Bon Bonniere, and there's a famous chocolate candy in the 1980s called Bon Bons. Come on, man. Let's not just stop playing with these niggas.
Yeah. We got to make it make sense.
Exactly. So then, let's see. Israeli scientists have found that eating chocolate cake for breakfast can be healthy and can even help us lose weight. Professor Daniela Jacobowitz.
Yeah, maybe dark chocolate.
Jacobowitz of the Wolfson Medical Center in Holon in Israel studied 193 obese adults, half of whom she asked to eat a substantial breakfast that included carbs, protein, and chocolate cake. The other half of adults were asked to consume lower-calorie breakfast that did not include chocolate cake. Both groups were on a low-calorie diet overall. After 4 months, those who enjoyed chocolate cake each morning had lost an average of 33 pounds. What? While those who avoided chocolate breakfast actually gained weight.
That's crazy. I don't know about that.
You know,
maybe dark chocolate, I guess.
Yeah, yeah. Dark chocolate definitely got benefits.
Yeah.
So moving on, in the past 20 years, Israel has developed a vibrant chocolate culture. Business partners Max Fitchman and Oded Brenner helped spark Israel's chocolate revolution in 1996 when they founded the store Max Brenner, with the goals of forging a new culture of chocolate in the Jewish state. Today, the chain's high-quality treats are sold in Israel, Australia, the U.S., Singapore, and the Philippines. So then to go forward, in Israel, the culture of chocolate innovation helped spark this continuing with unique chocolate manufacturers dotting the country. Israeli-made chocolates often feature unique flavors evoking the Middle East and Asia, such as pistachio, jasmine, some other thing I can't pronounce, cardamom, and ginger. Yeah. Israelis consume over 40 million of domestic-made chocolate each year. And in 2016, the Jewish state exported 10 million in Israeli chocolate worldwide. Even such famous chocolate-producing countries such as Belgium and France now import chocolates from Israel's vibrant producers.
Mm.
So we'll wrap it up there on this particular aspect of chocolate and Jews. You know what I mean? Once again, the author of this article that we are, you know, kind of breaking down, reading through, is by Dr. Yvette Alt-Miller, a Jewish female author. Link will be in the description. Holla.